share with you this morning. We're privileged to have with us Brother Corey and Lori Meyer. There you go. Got so many names running around my head here. But we are so privileged. I have the distinct privilege to serve on a mission board with the World Baptist Fellowship as one of the board members. And so I always get to see this on the front end. And the missionaries, as they, God calls them to serve and to go out into the field and labor. So we get I get a privilege of setting when they come through and they go through the interviewing process and get a chance to meet with the board members and that and go out. But we're just really there to try to be a help and encouragement and blessing to them. I thank God for their calling. God's calling upon their life to serve and that we can partner with them. And so it's a privilege to have you with us today, brother. Is your dear wife going to sing first? And she's musically talented. She's going to sing a song for us, and you're all set over here ready to go. And then after she's done singing, he's going to come and present their fields. God has called them to the field of Brazil. He's going to present their ministry, he's got a PowerPoint presentation, I think it's about 7 minutes. He's going to preach the word for us this morning. So it's just a great to have them in our church. Brother Corey is from Minnesota, and he'll share some of that with you. And his dear wife grew up, I think, on the mission field in Brazil. And those of you that were here when the Catos were with us just a couple weeks ago, this is their daughter. So she's going to sing for us today.
Okay. All righty. Ooh, a little nervous, that's all. All right. Well, I'm really glad to be here. As Pastor said, my name is Corey Meyer. And before I get too far, just real quick, like to introduce my wife to you yet again. So this is my wife, Lori. Would you stand up? Have everybody take a look at you. Thank you very much. Couldn't do much anything without her. She means so much to me. She was born and raised in Brazil, so she is actually a Brazilian citizen, and she's actually illegal here right now, but we're working on it, all right? No, I'm just playing. She has dual citizenship, so she's a Brazilian, you know, an American, right? And I have my permanent residency with our. We spent 1 year down there interning with Brother David before he had to come off the field down there and start up here in New Mexico. But I have my permanent residentship there, and so. But anyhow, let's go ahead and just show the video, and then I'll try to explain a little bit. But as you're watching the video, you'll be thinking, wait a minute, I thought this guy was a missionary to Brazil, because it looked like Germany. We're in the city of Blumenau, and you'll see some of that. And it's actually one of the most, it's actually the second most German city in all of Brazil. If you're familiar with the festival called the Oktoberfest, the world's largest Oktoberfest is held in Munich, Germany. But the world's second largest Oktoberfest is held in Blumenau, Brazil, believe it or not. So we have a lot of Germans there, and the architecture is German, food's German, a lot of people are German. So we are missionaries to Brazil. So when you see the pictures, just don't want you to be stumped. But anyhow, let's play a video before I ramble on.
Mighty shout resounding in the sky. In power and great glory, King Jesus will appear and take his children home to paradise. It will be a celebration for the ones who chose his name, but total separation for the ones who turned away. Are you ready for the trumpet? Are you ready for the call? Soon the angels will assemble to usher in the sun. is taken and one is left behind. Two women in the kitchen, one goes and one remains. So get your house in order while there's time. In the cross there is salvation, through the blood there is a way to secure your reservation on that resurrection day. Are you ready for the trumpet? Are you ready for the call? Will assemble to usher in the Son of God. Will he come and find you faithful? Will he know your name at all? Every moment brings us closer. Are you ready for the call? There's an urgency to reach the world. We have no time to waste, for within trumpet, are you ready for the call? Soon the angels will assemble to usher in the Son of God. Will he come and find you faithful? Will he know your name at all? Every moment brings us closer.
Stop it. Yeah, there's usually writing here saying, you know, would you help and stuff like that, but sometimes it just doesn't show up, and it didn't show up this time, so then it just becomes awkward staring at a map. So Matthew chapter 10, I'll open your, let you find your way there. Matthew chapter 10, somewhere near Genesis, I believe. In Sunday school, I'm going to pull my phone out just so I keep track on time. And like I said, you know, in case I get bored, I can play Candy Crush or something. But no, I'm just playing. Matthew chapter 10, yes. So we're living in the city of Blumenau right now. I just saw some pictures of it. And the Blumenau has about 220,000+ people with 10 bayous, our neighborhoods. It's got 10 neighborhoods, each one averaging about 30,000 people, and there's only one gospel preaching church that we know of, and that's about 2 hours north. It's on the very northern outskirts of the city. I'm not even sure if it's considered Blumenau or not. And from via, you know, research online, driving around, asking people, that's the only one we came in contact with, and they're very friendly and nice. But our goal, kind of as a team, we had a three-person team, but we're now down to two people. But anyhow, it'd be my wife and I, and then also her sister, Sarah and Todd DeWitt. They're down there right now. And our vision is to plant a church in each one of the 10 neighborhoods, each one of the 10 neighbor or bayous. And that's kind of, and that's not like a term vision, okay? It's like a lifetime vision. It's very difficult, and it's very time-consuming in this part of the area that we will be in. But also, we want to purchase a plot of land outside of the city of Blumenau to build a camp for many uses, multifunction. But also, we want a seminary on it in order to train nationals that are called to to serve God, in order to take over these 10 churches that God has given us the vision to plant in each one of these neighborhoods, and also hold children's meetings and different things like that, because children are the key, especially in Brazil. They're more open. They're listening. They're wanting to know. They understand that the things their parents believe and do just don't make any sense. It's like weird, you know. So they listen to you and they hear the gospel and they're like, wow, that actually makes sense. But anyhow, so we want to buy a plot of land outside of the city, and we're trying to raise like 60 or 80,000 bucks for it. And so far we've got about $2,500-$3,000 saved up. But like I said in my prayer letter the other day, remember who we're buying the land from, right? From God. He owns it, and he always gives the best deal, so maybe we already have more than enough. But anyhow, I just mentioned all that because if you saw on our display out there, there's a bunch of candles and candle melts, and my wife has handmade those. They're 100% soy candles, some with essential oils and stuff. And she had put a lot of hard work into it, and all the cells from those candles she saves, and the, you know, the proceeds or the money from it, obviously, she sets aside and it's saved to buy land in Brazil. So if you want to help out with that in that way, that's a very good and creative way to help out. You can buy one of her candles. And I know what you're all thinking right now. Oh, man, forgot my cash. Oh, bummer. That's okay. She takes a card. I'm kidding. No, I'm not kidding. She does take a card. She's got a card reader, so, you know, no excuse. No, I'm just playing. But, all right. And if you got any questions, please come and ask. And we'll be back there at the table back there. But God has been so good to us. I mean, it's incredible. We started deputation beginning of 2015 and spent 1 year on deputation, raised like maybe 60% of our support or so. Then we went down to Brazil for a year and interned with her father the last year he was down there, and then all of 2016. And then we got back here beginning of 2018, and we had begun deputation part two, and we're about 75% of our support, and our goal is to be back in Brazil March of 2018, so it'll be about 2.5 years-ish total deputation time, but God has been good to us, and we are so thankful for all that he has done. And myself, I'm just a redneck from Minnesota. I grew up not going to church, began to go to church at 13, saved at the age of 16. And, you know, I'm just so thankful that God is able and willing to call and use everybody. Because if there's anybody that couldn't have been used, probably would have been me. Even when I went to Bible college. It's a long story. I couldn't go into it right now. But God is good, and he wants to use you. And that's the message I got here for you today. It's about a commission, right? Missionary commission, right? What else do you expect? But don't worry. I'm going to rag on the disciples for a little bit and talk about a commission that was given to them here in Matthew chapter 10. And when Jesus gave them this commission, he taught them some timeless truths that apply to us today, that are extremely important that we understand, I believe so. And Jesus said in the chapter before, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." So let's just pray real quick. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for all that you have done for us, and for all that you have given to us, and for the salvation, and for your Son, Jesus Christ, and for him paying the debt that we owe and making a way that we can have fellowship with you even now in prayer in this building, Father. I ask, God, that you would send forth laborers into his harvest, God, and me first. I pray that you would lead those that you would have, and I know there's far more. I know that there are many, many that you call. I pray, Father, that you give them the grace, as you did me, to accept the call. Nothing of my own, all of you. Father, we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse number 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now, I don't want your word, Pastor. I'm not going to be preaching about going around and doing miracles here. But anyhow, I do want to consider this, because Jesus here is gathering his disciples together, the 12 of them, including Judas, and he is giving them power to perform miracles. All right, he's giving them power to make the blind to see, the lame to walk, the dumb to speak, and to even raise the dead, as we'll see later on. This is truly incredible. Man, I would have loved to have been there and to have been given the power to do these things. But at this point in time in Jesus' ministry, his disciples have been with him and have seen him do it himself. And now Jesus is saying to them that he is giving them the power to do the same. And then we read over here, after he names the disciples in verse 25, or in verse 5, chapter 10, these 12 Jesus sent forth. So he is sending his disciples on a commission. And understand this, that a commission is not like a suggestion. No, a commission is a command. He is giving them a command. He is laying on them an obligation. He is telling them, this is what you must do. He's not saying, hey, think about it. And if you want, go ahead. No, he was giving them a commission. And he is commissioning them to do something. So I want to go over and go through this commission to the disciples in Matthew chapter 10 and see how the principles that still apply to us to here today. You know, as I said before, just a minute ago, I would have loved to have been there, right? I would have loved to have been a part of the 12 and being given the power to perform miracles, to make the blind to see, to heal those with cancer, to make the lame to walk. It would have been great, right? I would love the power. I would, you know, I have a lot of family and loved ones that are sick with different illnesses, cancer and stuff. And I'd love the power to be able to go and lay my hands on them and say, in Jesus' name, be healed. You know, God hasn't given us that power. Not in that sense. We're still in the miracle business, yes, via prayer. And you know, if I was there and this was given, I was one of the disciples, in my mind, I'd be thinking, man, I've got the power to perform miracles, right? I can make the blind to see. I could raise the dead even. Right? I can make the lame to walk and the dumb to speak, heal the lepers, cleanse the disease. So I'm going to go out and I'm going to find the blind. You know that beggar that's lame that from my home city? I'm going to go to him and I'm going to heal him. I'm going to go and find the sick children. I'm going to make them better. In my mind, that's what I would be thinking. Well, God gave me this power, so that's what I ought to do, right? But Jesus gives them further instructions. He just doesn't give them power and ability to perform miracles and say, go. He gives them specific instructions, and in doing so, he teaches his disciples and us some timeless truths that are very meaningful and help us to understand the heart of God. So here, let's skip down to verse number 6. Jesus says, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So he's saying, listen, yes, I have given you the power to perform miracles, but I don't want you to go out and seek out the sick and the lame and the deaf and the blind. I don't want you to go to them. That's not who I care. I care about. That's not who I want you to go to. Rather, I want you to go and I want you to seek out the lost sheep of the house of Israel, those that were not saved of the children of Israel. So he's saying, listen, I want you to go and I want you to find those who do not know about me. All right? I want you to find those who have not heard the gospel, who have not heard the good news, and that are not saved. That's who I want you to find. Okay, good deal. So I'm going to find those that don't know the gospel, that have not heard the gospel, that don't know about Jesus Christ, and I'm going to heal them. But, you know, Jesus goes on to give him further instructions. And notice what he says here in verse number 7. And as ye go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So he's saying here, even more important than their physical condition is their spiritual condition. Jesus Christ, yes, he is concerned about our physical well-being, but more so he's concerned about our spiritual condition, about our spiritual well-being. That is supreme above our physical condition. So he says, listen, I want you to find the lost. And that's what we are supposed to do today. We are to seek out the lost. And then when you have found the lost, you are to preach the gospel to them. You are to tell them the good news. You are to tell them about me, Jesus Christ. That is what I want you to do. Why? Because them knowing the gospel is more important than them being healed or cleansed. So to God, to Jesus Christ, the condition of a man's soul is far more important than the condition of their physical body. And here today is the same thing. America's all sick with a problem called sin. And every man and every woman, they all have a seat in hell waiting for them. But there's a way out of it, and it's through Jesus Christ. He said it himself. And that's what he wants. Hell was never made for you and I. It was made for Satan and his angels. But you could only choose to go there. You know, then he goes on in verse number 8. Finally, he says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. So he says, listen, once you have found the lost and then preach the gospel to them, then I want you to perform these miracles in order to back up what it is that you are saying about me, Jesus Christ, and about the gospel. And we are to do the same thing today too. We are to seek out the lost. We are to preach the gospel to them. No, we don't have the power to perform miracles, but later on I'll get into another portion where it helps us understand what we have. So, that's pretty good instruction, but Jesus goes even further. Actually, he goes a long time, a big chapter of telling them and talking to them, but we're not going to go through it all. But then, not only does he give them power and tell them what to do, but he tells them how to do it and where to do it, which we already covered. But then he goes on to tell them how to do it. He says here in verse number 9 and 10, provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, neither scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. Remember back with me now on the Sermon on the Mount. The disciples at this point in time had been with Jesus and had heard the Sermon on the Mount. So when Jesus is saying what he is saying here, it is very familiar to the ears of the disciples and should be to ours. What he is saying is, what he's saying here, listen, I'm sending you out on a commission. I want you to go and I want you to obey right now. And as you go, I want you to go by faith. That's what he's saying here. I want you to go by faith, trusting in God. I want you to go by faith, trusting in our Heavenly Father that he will take care of you. I don't want you to sit around because he's sending them out. All this time they've been with Jesus. So they've hungered and needed things. Jesus has always provided, but now he's sending them out, and they're thinking, man, we ain't got no money. Maybe Judas did, right? Maybe he's thinking he could do these miracles to make some money, but not the others. And they're thinking, okay, yeah, so you want us to go out to these cities and preach the gospel? Well, I'm going to have to wait around. I'm going to have to do some fishing. I'm going to have to build some tents. I'm going to have to do these different things to raise the money so that when I go out, I'm prepared. Too often we do the same. Jesus says, no, don't do that. He says, go, and I want you to go now, and I want you to go without these things, and I want you to trust in God to take care of you. For without faith, it is impossible to please him, right? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So if you think about it in your own personal life, when's the last time have you ever even pleased God? When's the last time you've lived by faith and not by sight? You know, we think oftentimes coming to church and doing different things and different activities that pleases God. But if it's done without faith, you have not pleased God. For without faith, it is impossible. So he's saying, listen, I don't want you to depend on yourself or on your substances or on things that you can do necessarily. I just want you to go and do what it is that I've commanded you to do, and I want you to do it by faith. You know, we're commanded to do the same thing. What about tithing, right? Pastor gave me $20 for this part. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. What about, no, I'm serious, though. What about tithing? When, you know, that was one of the biggest stepping stones in my Christian life is learning to tithe properly. A lot of people say they tithe, but they don't tithe. What about serving in church, being faithful in church? You know, if you're sitting there thinking, you know, I've got this payment, I got this payment, I got cars, I got a house, I got motorhome, I got all these different things, and I just don't have the money to give that 10% to the church, and I can't tithe, so I'll give a little portion, but once this is taken care of, then I'll begin to do what God has called me to do. You're living by sight, and the whole time you're doing that, you have not pleased God in a single bit. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. So when he asks you to do something, you have to do it not trusting in yourself. You have to do it trusting in God. You know, I'm going to give you one quick illustration because Jesus brings it up here as he sends his disciples out in verse number 29. He says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing," which from what I understand is 1/16th of a day's wage, right? 1/16th of a penny back then or whatnot. So basically nothing. These worthless birds, right? "And not one of them shall fall on the ground without your Father," right? God is so in tune into this world that not even a worthless bird is allowed to die or fall to the ground without God's knowledge. Then he goes on, "But the very hairs of your head are all numbered." He's saying, listen, God knows you better than you know yourself, right? Now, numbering to know the number of hairs you have in your head is an incredible task. It may be easier for some than others, I understand that, but regardless, it is an incredible task. And what he is saying is, listen, I know you so much more than you even know yourself. And because of that, he says, "Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows," right? Did Jesus Christ, did he come and did he die in the place of a sparrow? No. He came and he died in your place, and he came and he died in my place. Why? Because he loves us an infinite amount more than these sparrows. They are in comparison worthless compared to you and I. And yet he takes care of the birds. Would he not also take care of you and I when he sent his only begotten Son to be crucified and died for you and I? Of course. So who are we not to trust him? There was an accountant, I give real quick illustration. He was very smart mathematically, and he was an accountant and for several rich men, and he was also a Bible reader, and he considered the passage about even back on the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus began to talk about the birds and how God takes care of them, and he says, you know, they don't sow, right? You never see a bird out in the field planting seeds. Who's ever seen that? No? Okay, good, because I'd something wrong with you, right? Birds, they don't go out and they don't plant seeds, right? And then they don't water them. No, you never see a bird out there watering their crops, you know, de-weeding them. And they don't gather their food in the storehouses, he says, right? They don't prepare for their future. And yet God takes care of them. So this guy, he wanted to know, you know, man, God takes care of the birds and that's supposed to mean something to us. Well, he wanted to figure out mathematically exactly what that meant because he was a Bible reader and he wanted to know what that was like for God to take care of the birds. So math, through his equations, he wanted to figure out how many birds are there in all the world at one given point in time. Okay? So through his equations, he got a number. And then he figured out, on average, how much does a bird eat per day, right? So then he figured out how much bird food would it take to feed all of the birds of the world for one single day. And the conclusion that he came to was that if the richest man during that time were to liquidate everything that he owned into cash, would not have enough money to feed all the birds of the world for one single day. And yet our God in heaven is able to feed them day in and day out since the dawn of creation. So when he asks us to do something, who are we to refuse and not trust him? If he is able to take care of the birds in such a way that the richest and most wealthy man on planet Earth could not do for a single day. So when he asks you to tithe, who are you not to trust him? We sung about it today. God be for us, who can be against us? He takes care of the birds, and in comparison to you and I, those are worthless. He asks us to live by faith. And I'm going to skip over because my time's already flying by. Just go to Matthew chapter 28. I'm going to skip a couple of things that I was going to speak about. But faith is probably the most important aspect of our lives. Because if you never learn to live by faith or to walk by faith and not by sight, then the truth is, no matter what you do, you will never please God. And that's a sad, sad thing. And today we have a group of Christians that live their lives by sight, not by faith. They calculate and configure things and figure out what they can do and what they should do when they know what God has asked them to do, but they don't do it. Because eventually they will, right? When their ship comes in, and they don't please God. Matthew chapter 28, right? There was a commission given to the disciples, you know, and it would have been great to be a part of that commission, but guess what? I'm not, and you're not. We're not given that kind of power. But I submit to you today that there is yet an even greater commission given to the disciples in which we are included in. And that's the commission found here in Matthew chapter 28, as the Great Commission. If you want, just follow along, and I'll go ahead and read it, beginning in verse number 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And this here is, this is not just to the disciples, like in Matthew chapter 10. This is to the church. This is to you and I. Jesus Christ is asking, or he is commanding you and I to do something. He has told us that we need to go and we need to seek out the lost, and we are to preach the gospel to them when we find them. But how is this a greater commission, right? The disciples back in Matthew chapter 10, they were given power to perform miracles to back up what they were saying. I said this is a greater commission, and it is. But why and how? I don't see miracle given power given to you and I. Well, let me give you a real quick illustration, and if we could just touch the... If we could just to understand what we're given, if we could just touch the hem of, like, you know, the saying, the hem of the garment, it would be a good thing to understand the power that we're given in our commission. Mankind's greatest manifestation of power was made known in something called the T-Star Bomb, all right? It's got another name, but I can't pronounce it. But it produced 60 megatons of dynamite. It yielded over 50 megatons of dynamite. It might not seem like a lot if you don't know what a megaton is, but a megaton is 1 million tons. So this one explosion produced 50 million tons of ton. This one bomb produced what is equivalent to 50 million tons of dynamite. And the explosion was so great that windows shattered over 500 miles away. It was dropped on by the Soviet Union on a remote island that they evacuated. It was a test. It was never dropped on a people, but it was mankind's greatest manifestation of power. And the closest person that was recorded to be near it was said to be 100 miles or so from it, and in a bunker. And they said from their perspective, it was incredible that the explosion seemed to engulf the horizon. The magnitude was so great. Mankind's manifestation of power was awesome. I would have loved to have been there to see that. But if you would with me, take a step back, all right? Let's just step outside of our atmosphere real quick. And now say you were looking back down at planet Earth. You know, you'd still see the explosion, mankind's greatest manifestation of power, but it looked like a puff of smoke. It wouldn't have quite the impact. It still looked pretty neat. I'd like to be there too. But it wouldn't have the impact on you as it did to that man 100 miles from it. But now, let's take another step back. Let's say you step back to our moon. It said if you were at the moon and you were looking at the Earth would be about the size of your thumb, arm length away. Okay? So from that perspective, you would need an extremely high-powered telescope to even see mankind's greatest manifestation of power. And then if you did see it, it would mean basically nothing to you because you'd be like, whoopity-doo. Right? But take another step back with me. Let's say you stepped outside of our solar system, right? All the way past Pluto. Now, from that perspective, you would need the most advanced equipment to even find Earth at a certain point in time in time. So from that perspective, mankind's greatest manifestation of power would mean nothing to you, all right? But let's take one more step back. Let's step outside of our galaxy. It is said that astrologers with the best equipment, if placed outside of our galaxy, it would take them 40-plus years scanning our galaxy for a chance to find planet Earth. So from that perspective, mankind's greatest manifestation of power would mean absolutely nothing to you. Mankind's existence would mean nothing to you. Now get this, there are 200 plus billion other galaxies. And I heard a scientist, creation scientist, say this one time, those are the ones that we know about, we don't know about the ones that we don't know about. Right? So if you were to take that step back, past those 200 plus billion galaxies, for you to even conceive the existence of mankind would be incredibly impossible, let alone the greatest manifestation of power. It would mean nothing to you. But know this, standing back and viewing those 200 plus billion galaxies, that the God in heaven, he who sits on the throne in heaven, had but came down and but spoke a word and created those 200 plus billion galaxies in but a moment. And that is the creation power of God Almighty that sits on the throne. And that's not even all of his power. It's just a drop of power from his mouth. And his whole being is full of power. So with that in mind, let's read the Great Commission, what he has commanded us to do yet again. He says, all power in heaven, all the creation power of God Almighty has been given unto me. That's great. It's been given to Jesus. All power has been given unto me in heaven. All that creation power, galaxy creating power has been given unto me in heaven, he says. Then he says something that kind of cracks me up a little bit. Maybe it shouldn't, but it does. He says, and in earth. Right? All the puny power, all the puny amount of power found here on planet Earth, that too has been given to Jesus. Right? And then he says, go ye therefore. And then in verse 20, he says, go ye therefore and teach and preach the gospel, right? And then he says in verse 20, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So listen, and I am finished. We're not given the miracle producing powers, or we're not given the power to make miracles happen like the disciples back in Matthew chapter 10, but we are given a much greater power. When we get saved, we are given the Holy Spirit of God, and God is, and it comes and indwells within us, and that Holy Spirit of God is the creation power of God Almighty that sits on the throne in heaven. So when God calls us to do something, whether it be tithe or give the faith promise or witness to your neighbor or your friend, we can't make them see if they're blind. But we're given so much more. We have the Holy Spirit of God, so when we go and we do what God has asked us to do, if God be for us, who can be against us? So I just want to encourage you. God has asked us to live a life of faith. He has commanded each and every one of us, you know, my wife and I and Brother, that guy, I'm really sorry. What? Caleb, yes. Brother Caleb, you know, we stand here today as missionaries, but in the proper sense of the term, everybody that has accepted Jesus Christ to save their soul are a missionary. And you have just the same responsibility to reach the lost as my wife and I and Caleb and Pastor. You're no less responsible to God. God has called you to the exact same thing. It's just God in his sovereignty has chosen to place me and Lori in Brazil, Caleb in England, and Pastor here, and you here to do the same thing. And he wants you to do it by faith. So I want to encourage you. What if God's calling you to actually begin to tithe correctly? God takes care of the birds. Why wouldn't he take care of you? Do it. Just step out by faith and do it. What if God's asking you to give the faith promise? Step out and do it. Oh, man, but I've got a cable bill. If your cable bill is more than your faith promise, there's something wrong. I can say that. Pastor can't probably. But no. Just kidding. I'm serious, though. If you can't give the faith promise because of something like that, then you're not living by faith and you are not pleasing God. That is what the Bible teaches. So I just want to encourage you, again, I'm sorry, what if God's calling you to be a missionary? What if God's calling you to go to Bible college? Answer the call. Do what he has asked you. I know it's scary. In the same passage, Jesus told the disciples, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep among wolves." Yes, it's scary, and it's hard, it's difficult, yeah. But if God be for us, who can be against us? Now I'm just going to go ahead and pray, and Pastor can come up here and close out the services. But I want you to consider that. Our God is a great God, full of power. And if you're saved, he's right here. And he's asking you something. He's asking something of you. He never stops asking of you. Never. You've never completed God's to-do list. Ever. And it's a good thing. There's always something. So step out by faith and actually please God. I'm not saying you're not. I know at a time in my life and still today, there's times in my life when I don't. Let's pray. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your precious word, Father, and for calling me just a nobody from nowhere in Minnesota to be a missionary, Lord, and preach your word. It's God, to those that perish, the preaching your word is just foolishness, but to us that are saved, it is the power of God. And I ask, God, that you would help each and every one of us here, Lord, to answer the calling that you have placed and to do what it is that you are asking of us to do. Lord, that you would help us to be obedient and just to step out by faith. Nothing's easy. Well, some things are. You know that. But I just ask, God, that you give us the grace to step out by faith. We love you in Jesus' name.
Let's stand together, if you will. Brother Ron's going to lead us in a verse of invitation today. Like Brother Corey said today, maybe it's faith. It requires faith to be saved. Maybe today you need to be saved and trust Christ as your Savior. And why don't you step out and do that today and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your person. personal Lord and Savior. It requires faith. It takes faith to tithe. It takes faith to give to Faith Promise Missions. It takes faith to serve. It takes faith to obey the Great Commission. Why don't you just make that commitment today and say, God, I'll serve you by faith. Brother Ron.